We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless. Limitless.
Hello and welcome back, you guys. I am your co-host, Justine Mader, here on the Virtually Limitless podcast, and I am beyond excited and elated to be having Rachel Peterson. Guys, the Rachel Peterson is in the house, the queen of social media, all things TikTok. Like, yes, we are here for it. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Justine, thank you so much for having me. I would like pay you to like hype me up each day before I get going for my work.
Yes, queen.
Amazing.
Aw, thank you so much. Well, that means the world. I think, you know, so many times our energy is misunderstood or not appreciated, especially when it comes to the virtual spaces. Now we can't, she's in Minnesota, you guys, and I haven't even been able to see her, right? But hopefully this Corona thing will figure itself out. And we'll be back to in-person events, but I have come to appreciate and embrace my own energy. So I'm so grateful for that just sweet compliment. That means so much to me. But I would love for people to know more about your story. Some of our listeners, 678 figure entrepreneurs, they may not know your greatness and know why your story is so powerful. I know the food stamps, the single mom, all of that, but I want to make sure that they hear the transformational story that you have.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for opening the floor to me. So one of the things that's really crazy is a lot of people call me the queen of social media. And I want to talk about how that started because it's not necessarily the traditional route or the pedigree route. I definitely don't have, you know, a marketing degree or anything like that. But my story actually, well, it started 32 years ago, but we'll just go ahead a little bit to when I was, I became a single mom accidentally at the age of 21. That was never a part of my life plan. I didn't expect that suddenly I'd be a mom and I wouldn't be married and life would look totally different than what I'd always imagined. And so I found myself in a place of realizing, oh my gosh, I'm a college dropout. I don't have access to a bunch of careers. I started applying for jobs everywhere and I kept being turned down because I was visibly pregnant. And so I realized I need to figure something out. At that point in time, I was on welfare and on food stamps, renting one bedroom from a house. And the crazy part is it was actually my dad's house. And that sounds like, oh, great. Like, awesome. You have family who could support. Well, yes and no. I love my family, but my parents had just gone through a brutal divorce that left them both massively struggling with lawyers' bills. And I remember at that point in time, like after all of the divorce bills and everything, my dad was like, making to the dollar the amount he needed to pay the rent. And so like miraculously things always worked out. We would both go give blood plasma together. I would get blood plasma for diapers. He would get blood plasma for food. It was a really interesting time in our lives and it taught me to be incredibly resourceful.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Right? Yes.
So I did all kinds of crazy things. I did medical studies. I mean, are there long-lasting side effects? Probably. We're not even going to talk about it, but all kinds of things just to make sure that we could get by and make ends meet. And I went to school for hair while I was on food stamps and welfare because I was like, I need to figure something out. This isn't working. I can't work at Taco Bell the rest of my life if I can get a job at Taco Bell. And so I went to hair school, hustled my way through hair school, made it happen. And then got accepted into, actually, I got job offers at the end of hair school from the 5 top salons in Minnesota. Ah! And oh, I was like, I remember the day the first call came through and I fell to my knees and bawled. And I was like, I looked at the baby Dakota and I said, life is never going to look the same, baby girl. Like it's never going to look the same.
Just see and feel that moment, you guys. If you've been through that moment where you're like, this is going to be the pivotal change. Like, oh, I just felt Rachel's, you guys. That's so powerful.
It was so crazy. And then, you know, one of my favorite parts about life is it's something that if we try to plan our whole lives out, we can be very frustrated by how much life changes and how many detours there are. But one day, life threw the wildest curveball at me. And I'll just break down the two biggest like whoa moments. First and foremost, I met my husband, and we met, felt instantly in love. And no, it wasn't because he was rich. He was a window washer and I was a hairstylist, but we fell in love. We got married 13 days later. And that was
epic.
Wild.
Yes.
I remember we got married and the next week we were like hanging out with friends and someone said like April Fool's. And I said, April Fool's is my birthday. And Paul looks, and this is after we're married. He goes, I didn't know your birthday was on April Fool's. And everyone bust out laughing because we knew nothing about each other. We just knew this is our forever. So that was one huge thing in my life. That was a big change. And then after I met Paul and we got married, one day a client sat in my chair to get gorgeous highlights. I was the best at blondes and balayage highlights.
About that.
Right? Everyone's starting to like miss the salon big time.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh, so I'm doing, you know, highlights, and this client's telling me about like this business that her and her husband bought. And, you know, we were talking about it, and this little company was called Mrs. Winner's Chicken and Biscuits, like winner, winner, chicken dinner, fried chicken.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Fast food chain. They bought the franchise. So they had franchises across the Southeastern United States. And she like suddenly got super excited. She was a high energy person, just like you and me.
Yes.
And she goes, oh, show me your tweeter. And I was like, sorry, like, what are you saying? And my instant thought was like, ma'am, we do not do this at the salon. Like, no. And she goes, you know, the blue bird. And I realized, oh my gosh, Twitter, this woman needs so much help. Like, I'm worried about her. She's going to walk around telling people like, show me your tweeter. And she's going to see things she doesn't want to see.
Oh, heavens, no. Oh my gosh.
So
a moment we would never forget though. Right?
Never, not in a million years. Oh, so I started actually just going to their house and helping them set up social media. Yeah. The brand had like gone bankrupt and come back alive, and they bought it through the bankruptcy, which was really cool. Yeah. And so I was able to support them with setting up all of their social media. Now, of course, they didn't realize this, but I was like going home, like frantically Googling everything to try to learn it before I went to their house.
One step ahead.
If I was lucky. And that became my very first client. And then I jumped into marketing. And today we own two businesses, a marketing agency. We teach people marketing. That's our second business. And we've had a lot of awesome, really cool success.
Yes, you have. And for you guys, just to realize like this incredible human, like for me, the biggest message that I've seen, not only by following her and supporting her and encouraging her, but like even just her heart that she's sharing in the show, you guys, it's going to be messy. It's not that you see the full staircase. It's just that you know the next best step. And whether it's the inspiration of your children that you hold in your hands, or, you know, the vision of supporting other children across the world through a mission, like it could be anywhere along the spectrum. Just focusing on the next best step can totally transform your life. So Rachel, I just love that you brought that to the table here. And I would love for people to know, like having you're multi-million dollar companies, you got two of them. Like how on earth does one work? And I know your husband is an executive totally supporting you. That's different in this world. That is different for women. That is different for men. Like I love that you guys have brought not only your complementary features to the table, but it's a unified mission towards the same goal. And it's not a matter of I'm doing this because I'm better than it's just not like that. Can you share with people that are struggling, couples especially, 2020 has brought so many people home and they're not used to working together, whether they're in the same company or not. How do you create an environment where you and your husband can work unified towards the same goal?
Oh, I love that question. And I know that not everyone can always work together with their significant other. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't fit, or one person is working to make sure that there's a stable income. Whatever works for you, it's important to recognize that it's going to look different for every single person.
Love that.
The first thing that really helped me was one of our mentors shared with me, if you know your offices, AKA like, imagine that Paul has his own office, and inside of that office are the things that you're not in charge of. And you have your own office, things that Paul is not in charge of. If you recognize that you guys can say, hey, I saw this in your office, what do you think about this, this, and this? You can weigh in, support, communicate, but that. Ultimately, Paul's office is Paul's office.
Ooh, I love that. Close that door. That's Paul. Right?
Yeah. Yes. So we both give each other the permission to say, this is my office and I love you. But right now you're going to need to like step out of my office, please. Cause I've got to deal with what's in my office.
For sure.
So I handle the front end of our business. That means sales, marketing, casting vision, moving big projects forward with the team. And Paul handles everything on the back end. So operations, finance, HR, hire, fire, running our household, as crazy as that sounds. That's like a whole, everyone knows that's like a whole job in and of itself.
Amen. Especially in 2020, I think people were like, holy smokes.
There's a lot.
Yes. And you have three, right? So it's not even just one. Dakota was mentioned, but yes. I know that you have more than just bless Dakota. So
yes. We have three kids. We have 10, six, and two, almost three. So literally by the time this goes live, it'll be probably 3 years old. So,
I love it.
It's wild. The other thing that I will share, and this is really helpful, is tons of communication. So during this year, we've all learned a lot about our limits. We've all had our limits tested in different ways. Absolutely. And I started to realize that when our two oldest girls were home from school, it was so hard for me to record. And so instead of having the whole day to record what needs to get done, I would find myself in the middle of the day ready to record right when the kids get rambunctious in the day. Yes. And so I would be frustrated. I'd be frustrated with Paul. I'd be frustrated with the kids. And it was truly no one's fault. It was just
I love that.
All of our limits. And so I started to communicate and I said, hey, babe, I need 2 hours today of quiet time where the kids aren't loud to record. When can I get that quiet time? And then he would lock down the house or even just take the girls on a walk or just drive around in the car with them to make sure I had my 2 hours to record. So communication is honestly everything.
That's so incredible. And when we build those, I like to say roadways or bridges of communication, it's not that, you know, the spouse doesn't want to help either. It's that they don't necessarily know how to help. And so then you gave him the ability to be like, hey, Paul, I need this right now. Can you help me here? And if they can't, then they can answer and you can sort it out from there. But the biggest portion that so many people I think are not allowing themselves to do is build that bridge and ask for help. And so even as a woman, you know, especially mothers, my heart goes out to mothers, and a huge part of the community that I serve as mothers in business is being willing to ask for help, because we're used to being the one that helps everybody else. How do you overcome that mindset of, am I asking too much? Am I putting myself out there? And yes, that's my 2-year-old that has been supposed to be napping for the past hour and a half. So, and he still has not slept. So I know he's tired, but he's like, mom, mom.
I could hear mom. And I was like, we won't talk about it unless you bring it up.
Oh, I bring it up all the time. I have Elliot that's a 3-month-old. He was a NICU baby for me. Crazy story with that. But then, yes, the rambunctious 2-year-old that is always at my side as well. So, yes, this is very much life and appreciated, but I will mute him for your answer to talk about motherhood mindset of like, how do we ask for help versus always being the one that grants it?
I love that. And I want to share one more thing, because I think it's amazing, Justine, that you show up. Even if there's kids in the background, like is one thing that I've loved about this year is not that you felt like you have permission or I felt like I had permission. It's like the world is finally starting to catch up. Yes. Oh my gosh, women in business might also be moms, and a toddler might walk in the middle of an interview and say, I need a diaper. You know, like you never know what's going to happen. And
have you been in my life? Wait, what?
I think we're living the same life a little. I kind of
yes.
Love that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, totally. Totally. I love that adage.
So the question about how do you know if you're asking for too much help or not? I have a really interesting reframe on it, because asking for help is hard, I think, for everyone, especially moms, especially women in business. And we've been taught to like be self-reliant and to prove to everyone how much we can handle.
Yes.
And so the chances are, if you wonder if you're asking for too much help, you're probably not asking for enough. I remember like working with my team and my team being nervous about taking stuff off my plate because they didn't want to step on my toes. And I was like, and you guys like step on my toes, like stomp on my toes. Like you can
hop on them.
Pull things radically off my plate, because it is hard for us to ask for help. And one of the biggest things that we can do is check in with people, like have a check-in and say, hey, how are you doing? Do you need more help? where can I support you? But then also trusting and giving people permission to tell us when we've asked for too much help so that they can get the support that they need. But the chances are, if you're wondering, am I asking for too much help? You're probably still not asking for enough.
That's so powerful. And there's so many different ways that we can help too, because there's, you know, I like to talk about the do, delegate, and ditch. You know, is there something that you're doing that really should be let go of in the first place? Sometimes your team has to be that outside looking in and being like, hey, Rachel, we love you, but that's really not helping us in any way, shape, or form. Can we let that one go? Like that's the benefit of putting yourself in the space of power in the team. Like that's why we don't do things alone. And as you know, I used to feel that I had to do it all alone too. And now I'm branding with partners too, because I don't have all the gifts and talents. I don't have all the know-how, but I do know someone that does tech. Thank God for tech people. And you know, all those things. It's like, that's the freedom. So even as a strong woman, it's allowing yourself to remain strong while embodying the fact that you're not alone either. Mm-hmm. And you want to build a team that is just as strong as you, but how do you do that if you keep on all the pain, all the work yourself? So I would love to know, you've built a lot of teams. So social media is, you know, a huge part of one of your businesses, and managing little English issue here, guys. Bear with me. It's all good. Mom coffee here. Literally. Yes, I have coffee and my jug of water. Nursing and got to survive. It's just the way it is. But no, so when you think about like maximizing your team potential, they're running social media for other brands. And we really need to see that, you know, we need to see an increase in all of the things, all the stats, insights, and all that kind of stuff. How do you make sure that your teams feel empowered to lift up other brands? Because that's really what your social media group is all about.
Oh my gosh. So it's really intense coming in and navigating two different things. Number one, when you're working with your team, that's one thing. And then when you step into someone else's business, you have to really learn people's skills, yes, because now you're also working with someone else's business. And so one of the best things I did was not necessarily, well, I mean, learning about social media was really good. Learning about marketing was awesome. Learning copy, they're all really important. But learning how to communicate with other people was one of the best things I ever did. There have been seasons of my life and my business where I've just plowed in, acting like an energetic, like fireball, almost like a bull in a china shop with excitement and all these plans and all of this. And I remember one time working with a team where they did not take that well. They thought that I was, you know, threatening to their positions. They thought she's coming here and giving us more work, et cetera. And so one of the best things that you can do if you work with other businesses besides just your team is to first and foremost, slow down and build rapport. And this is true with other people's teams. I always like sit down, get on the same level as everyone else, make sure like we talk about something fun or funny or light, and really understand who these people at the table are and support them and let them know, like, I'm not here to threaten your job. I'm not here to make your life harder. I'm here to help you win. And I really, really mean that. Like what does a win mean to you? Mm-hmm. And so that's a great way to like really connect with people deeply. But then conversely, on your team, on my team, if I can step back and find out what drives my people, oh my gosh, best thing ever. And there's different motivators. For example, this is kind of funny, but like most of the time when I have a big win, I'm not going to go like buy a new car or anything. I'm so happy with my life.
Maybe I love that. Hang on, you guys. What did she say? I am so happy with my life. How many other people can say that right now? If you're listening, if you're not happy with your life, I hope you can become happy by listening to amazing people like Rachel who took ownership of what she's doing. But yes, I'd like to push play, let you continue your thought. But I just had to be like drop moment where it's like, hey, wait a minute. What did you just say? How many people can say that right now? I don't think enough can. So hopefully we encourage you to find a way to be happy today. But yes, Rachel, please continue.
But I love that you also said like, pause, we got to talk about this. Because more wins, more money, more revenue, they can't provide you with happiness. They can make it easier to afford like therapy and exercise classes and things that
absolutely
like help you to boost your endorphins. But generally speaking, they don't create happiness. So I like to know, what is it that's going to make my team super excited about these wins? For example, my assistant, Kellyanne. When I say assistant, assistant isn't even a strong enough word. We've been friends for 13 years, and she is like a sister to me. So my assistant, Kellyanne, is so special. That's, by the way, why I'm here. Every person who treats Kellyanne with respect, I'm like, yes, I will totally, I'd love to be on your podcast. And so I want to say, like, first and foremost, you and your team are amazing.
Thank you.
And you treat people with respect. And that's why I'm here. And I
She was sweet too. It's really, it's hard not to be sweet to someone when you're sweet. And so many times, you know, people are like, oh, the assistant. And I'm like, well, maybe they're having a bad day. Like, that's all. That's always my default. And being a mom, maybe it's just the way it goes. Or I'm like, maybe she didn't get her coffee today. She probably needs a chocolate bar. Yeah. Like, what does she need? Like, so that's my moment. But that's, I love that you say that, because when, you know, whether you're the janitor or the quarterback,
yeah,
if you're not treated with respect, that's not a way to run a team, run a mission, run a movement. And so I love that that's something that you embody for yourself and you hold as a respect for your assistant sister, Kellyanne, as well. I love that so much.
Yes. So I love when you recognize that assistants are really important and VAs are really important and every person in a business is really important, and learning what motivates people helps so much. And we're all so different. So for example, I am very self-motivated. And what I mean by that is once motivation runs out, I rely on extreme discipline. I'm like, I know exactly what I'm going to accomplish every day. My word is my bond. Yes. Here are the things that I've committed to for each and every day. Here are the things that are flex for those days when I don't feel like it and I need a few hours to go sit in the bath. But Kellyanne is motivated by philanthropic work. Jess is motivated by really big accolades. Like, and knowing that about each person helps you to lead a team, in my opinion, a lot better.
1,000%. Well, and it's so funny because one of the things that I've helped talk to people about, you know, communication too, is love languages. Like, does someone just want the title of marketing director? Or do they want the pay raise? Like, what is it that they want out of this picture? Because, you know, you could be giving someone pay raises, but all they want is the title. They could care less. They're just not driven by, but they won't feel you. And it's for me, it's a responsibility role, right? Where you hold what it is that could possibly be a happiness opportunity for them. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that that's what you wanted. Oh my gosh, you can have it. But you don't know until you actually take that time. And I think the underlying factor Rachel is sharing here is you have to take the time, be willing to listen, and actually take action on that knowledge and implement that into your business and into the people's lives that are you're surrounding yourself with intentionally, right? She said she's been with Kellyanne for 13 years. Like, that's what you want in your business, you guys. You want to build relationships and empires that last, not just but for you, but for the people that are with you. Because you don't want to go alone. I mean, that's boring as heck. I mean, that's just my opinion. Maybe you want to go alone. That's not the way I want to go. So I absolutely love that. So with that being said too, I would love to talk a little bit TikTok. TikTok has been not only an incredible way for people to get to know you, to get to see you and be a part of your world, but there's a lot of power that comes with having the kind of following that you do. And if you guys don't know, she has a following, she has an intense following and they all love her for obvious reasons. But what does that mean to you? Like in business, like you have so much weight in every video. Like you said, you know, for the days that I don't feel like showing up, that discipline helps you show up even though you don't want to. Like, there's a lot of weight in every video and every publication. Like, what is that like in a daily sense of commitment and showing up?
Oh man, I like that question because the answer can be kind of complicated. And I think about this a lot, sometimes thinking about how many people can watch a video. I mean, we're at a point where we have a lot of 1 million plus video view days, you know?
Yes.
Every day.
I saw your insights on Instagram. Sorry. I was so totally crazy watching. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes. And we like totaled up our reach across social media and like email, podcast, and we reach anywhere from 15 to now 35 million people per month, which is insane.
Woo!
It's crazy. And so one of the things that has actually helped me, believe it or not, is to show up no matter what. Oh, I heard this thing. I can't remember if it was from a therapist or from someone quoting their therapist, but either way, it came from a therapist. And it was waiting until you have everything figured out is a form of perfectionism. If you wait to show up until you have everything figured out, that's a form of perfectionism. And I loved that because it reminded me, I might be wrong about some things and that's okay. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'm going to show up. So if nothing else, if I'm totally wrong about something, awesome. Yeah. 3, 5, 10 years down the road, we can look back and watch that growth trajectory. Mm. And letting go of the need to know and be able to explain everything, that allowed me to start showing up exactly where I am.
Mm, that's so powerful. And it's one of those things, you know, it allows us to let go of the fact that we don't have to know everything either in every area. Like, you're not trying to be the developing queen. You're just the, so not just, I should watch my words. You are the queen of social media. So it's one of those things where it's like, you're able to focus and become so much more of you if we let go of worrying about how we have to be so much more for them. And I'm all about showing up, all about accountability. Your word is your bond. Like those words just, yes, absolutely. So I think that that's hopefully a word for someone listening today. You're not going to feel like it every day. Motivation is fleeting, but discipline supports the actual future that you're trying to build through that motivation. It builds momentum. It gives you the clarity, all of those things to take messy, messy, imperfect action. So I think Rachel's just not only a huge testament to that fact, but she's living it, you guys. Even the leaders. And I think that's something too. I love bringing the humanity out of leaders. I work closely with Dean Graziosi and a couple other, Jamie Kern Lima is someone else that I help lead her Facebook group. So it's one of those things for me, like there is so much humanity in these leaders. I would just love for you to share, you know, what's maybe one fun thing that maybe your TikTok people know, because you've shared a lot on TikTok, but what would be one fun human fact that people could learn about you being a multi, you know, $1 million business owner? Like you're like, hey, I still bleed red. I still have plasma. I still was on, you know, food stamps back in the day. Like what would be something that you would love to share that, you know, can help you build that rapport with the audience too?
Ooh, I love this. Outside of business, I'm not naturally super disciplined. And that sounds like a fluffy way of saying like, I'm just too committed. No,
no, all good.
I get these wild ideas where I'm like, I'm going to be a gardener. I am going to garden, like
creative.
And so of course I'll go to Home Depot that day and I'll think, you know, maybe I buy like a plant or two, and people say like their best advice is to start small. And then I get this really weird, stubborn thing where I'm like, no, I'm going to buy 260 plants. And so we have right now 220 plants that range from squash to cucumber to tomatoes to cilantro, like snap peas. It's taking over our whole house. And it is so stressful. And I can't remember to water it. And I have to it's like, it's taking over my life. And
do you have a green thumb? Yes. No.
Right now? Yeah. Like they're thriving.
Good.
My palms didn't thrive and my lilies were angry, but all of the vegetables I planted are thriving. And I thought maybe if I plant like 250 of them, maybe like 10 will grow, but 220 of them are growing.
What's your percentage there, Rachel? Come on, let's get this up a bit.
Okay, I'm at like 75%. Like yes. It's insane. And so it sounds like a really good thing, right? Like in theory, it sounds really good, but I am so stressed about it. And every time I look at my plants, I'm like, what did I commit to? What am I doing? Like, I like to be lazy when I'm not working. I like to sit.
Yes.
And so I do these things, I commit to things, and then I'm really stubborn. And then the only reason I hold out is because people tell me it's impossible to have 250 thriving plants. And then I'm like, you don't know me. And then I'm going to build a greenhouse. And I'm so into the sunk cost, I can't give up.
Yep. Then you're like, I'm so invested. So I love that. And I can sense, you know, even whether it's business or, you know, if it was a team, you know, function too, I could just totally see where it's like, oh, they said I can't do this. I am so going to do this right now. Like you guys will be sorry. I love that so much. I'm silly competitive in all things sports and games. So that's one of my downfalls. I will forgive you afterwards, but in the time of it, it's pretty much, no, we're not friends.
I think we should get together because yes. I love games.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We totally need to make this happen, you guys. And I'll help you water your plants. I promise I'll be helpful.
Okay.
No, you guys, but you see, that's the thing. Like, behind Dean, behind Jamie, behind Rachel, all these leaders and incredible human beings, they are just as human as you and I, but they made a decision. The decision is the defining difference between where they were and where they are now. And the reason that I'm interviewing these people, putting myself in these circles, is because I'm committed to doing that myself. That's a decision that I made. And that's a decision that you can make today. So I just hope that Rachel inspired you, and hopefully maybe you're going to go get a garden too. And now you'll grow plants like Rachel. But it's one of those crazy things where it's like, regardless of what that is for you, embrace that, have fun with that, but also realize that those defining moments, those decisions on what you do every single day, how you do one thing is how you do all things. That's why I was kind of asking Rachel. I was like, so what is it? If she gets something that she's committed to, she's going all in. So you better believe it. If she says, hey, I'm committing to this webinar, you better be there. She's probably going all in. Where are you? Are you in the seat? Are you actually showing up? If she's going to commit to doing something like she did the book club, you guys, I can't wait for her to cue this in. She's going all in. She's bringing all this stuff to the table, and there's no excuse why you shouldn't be doing it too. So I love how she's demonstrating that in her outside of business life, because they do live life outside of business. I mean, some people don't, but Rachel sure does. And I love that she has that integration in her life. I don't say balance, I say integration, because I think that's the most important thing that we can do. We can make those intentional decisions that lead to integration. But what is this book club that I just hinted at? I want Rachel to drumroll, please tell us more about this.
So, well, there's also an interesting surprise, because I didn't realize the types of people you work with. So we'll get there in just a second. So, you know, a while back I did this TikTok, and I was talking about how the things that you were criticized for growing up can oftentimes become your superpowers, or they were secretly your superpowers.
Yes.
And back when I was in middle school, I loved to read. As a kid, I loved to read. I'm obsessed with reading. And I remember, like, people would always be like, you're such a nerd. Like, why do you want to just read the whole time? I would read through recess on the swings while I was swinging. Like, I love
multitasking. I mean,
yes. That's a great way to put it. So I decided to open up this book club to people. And I said, if you guys want to read a book with me, I currently read 2 to 3 books every week, usually on the weekends. I try to read 10 pages a day, Monday through Friday. And then weekends, okay, I'm like, I splurge books and just do that. And so, I opened up this book club, and we read nonfiction books, inspiring books, books that make us cry or think or feel different. Mm. And we have 4,200 people in this book club. And next month in April of 2021, we are reading Jamie Kern Lima's book. Believe It!
Oh, drum roll, you guys. So believe excited. It. Isn't she the most incredible human, like, ever?
I read her book in one sitting, and I couldn't put it down, because it was like watching a movie. It was incredible.
She just blows me away. That's a whole nother podcast episode. But yes. She's so incredible. That's April, you guys, Believe It. The book, the place is Rachel's Facebook group. Like, oh my gosh, yes. And there's only 4,200. Where's everybody else at? I mean, come on.
They'll show up, but they're missing out, because the April book is amazing. So,
yes. Oh, to say the least. Oh, that's so incredible. I'm so excited that you're not only, you know, the biggest thing as leaders is that, yes, we can do it ourselves, but it's so much funner to do with other people, especially if they're thinking about doing it too, where it's like, oh, well, you're trying to do self-development. Oh, hey, I'm already reading these books. Why don't we do it together? And that creates such a community element, you guys. So if you're thinking that you're not making it on your own, that's probably because you're not putting yourself in a power proximity. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. And I know it, because I've been there, and I've had to make the intentional moves myself. So with podcasts, with being in Dean's circles, Jamie's circles, like, you name it, I've done it. I've been there. I felt it. So please consider going to the Facebook group, and it's going to be in the show notes. No excuses. So, yes, I'm so excited. So for people that need more of you in their life, I know they will. Rachel, where can they find you? TikTok, we mentioned, isn't obvious, but what's your username? How do they find you?
The easiest way to find me is going to my website, rachelpeterson.com. All E's and a D in my last name, and all my social media platforms are linked there.
All E's and a D. I love that so much. That's so good. such a perfect ring to it. But before I let you go off this, there's one last question that I want to ask you, Rachel. And I love to do this towards the end of the interview. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of suffering, and a lot of excuses made because of the way exterior forces have put 2020 in our lives. We're almost at the end of 2021, and people are still kind of stagnant. What would be one or two messages of hope or inspiration that would, you know, I think this whole podcast episode was inspiration, but what would be one or two things that you would close out to inspire someone today?
So this is very simple. I think about this all the time. There are always going to be hard, terrible, awful things going on in the world that we live in, because that's the world that we live in. And so every single day we have the choice. Am I going to move closer towards the life that I want to build, or am I going to move further away from the life that I want to live and build? And just that simple choice helps me to become the best version of myself every single day.
Every single day. And if she can do it, you guys, you can do it too. Every single day. It's just making that decision. Everyone has that power of choice. And when you make that choice, you can then become limitless. Rachel, it was so incredible to have you on here. I'm so excited we got to do this today, and thankful that Kellyanne got this on your schedule, because I know your time is valuable. So with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in to listen to Rachel. You were incredible. And we will definitely need you to tune back in, you guys, to the next episodes coming soon.
If you learned anything from the show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.